Blog Talk Radio.
Events coming at you from a place called Durham, North Carolina. And this is Black by Color only on CNM Radio, where I will speak truth to the black nation. On this show, I will discuss current events and issues that affect the black race and take on the mainstream liberal black agenda. Hopefully, you'll get something from this show, and if you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well with respect, or you'll find yourself in danger of the curse of the fruit bats. So don't come here being a fruit bat, as this is a fruit bat free program. You are listening to Black by Color only. Welcome everybody to the show. Let's get this thing started. Hope today finds you doing well. If you would like to be a guest to call into the show, I see I already got someone in the queue already. If you would like to be a guest to call into the show, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And you can call in and talk about anything related to the subject matter. But I will give you a word of warning. Please be attentive to the aforementioned curse of the fruit bat. If you come on here and you like to indulge in excessive profanity, character assassinations, ad hominem attacks, straw man arguments, gaslighting, things of that sort, you will have a very short time on this program. Okay, I want adult, mature dialogue on this show, okay? I don't need anyone coming in here disrupting this program, you know, with your rhetoric. You haven't even looked into me, you know. Some people, they'll attack me. They don't even know me, you know. They'll call me them cute little names. You know what them names are. And that's not a way to carry out a conversation. Okay. Now, I'm not saying we have to agree on everything. You know, if you come on here and you just simply disagree with me, I'm not kicking you off the show. It's the disrespect that I can't tolerate. Okay. Cause we're going to disagree on something. You know, we might be the closest of friends, but we are still going to disagree on some things. Okay. But when you come here, if you're going to disagree, you don't have to be disagreeable. If you're going to be disagreeable, this is not the show for you. So you best kick yourself off, or I will be happy to oblige you. Okay. So anyway, I wanted to get into the program today. First of all, let me pull up my chat room. Ooh, boy, I tell you, I've had a week, had quite the week. Little bit of news on my job. I've gotten a $4 an hour raise, which is a good thing. And they increased my hours to 10-hour days, which means I get instead of 2 days off, per week, I get 3 days off. So I work 4 10-hour days, and I can use that extra day to, you know, get some things done. You know, usually I go out and wash and buy groceries. That's my job as a husband. Me and my wife agreed to that. We I wash and get the groceries on Wednesday, and whatever else I have to get together, you know, I can take that extra time and, you know, get some things done. But and you know, I'm all thankful to God for that. Just thank the Lord for it, you know. And you know, sometimes those of us who know the scriptures, we're not thankful to God for certain things. You know, we see some things as being kind of trivial, like, nah, I don't need to thank God. Nah, I thank God for everything. I thank God for waking me up in the morning. You know, I thank him for, you know, seeing me on my way. You know, I thank God for every morning that I can suck breath and awake with a sound mind and get up, and even though I might be tired or in pain, I thank God that I can make it to work in the mornings, you know, and I thank God, you know, and the present job that I'm at now, I got this job right when the pandemic started, the end of March of 2020, and I've been here for 4 years now. So, you know, and I'm still a contractor. I'm not what you would call a permanent worker, but they said that they value the contractors, because we've been a valuable resource to them, you know. So many people at my job have come and gone, and I'm still there after 4 years, because, you know, me, I have the attitude of when I come to a job, I'm going to get the work done. That's just my attitude. You know, I'm going to come on a job, I'm going to get the work done. I never understood people who will fill out an application for a job, and then they get the job, and then they don't want to do the work. I'm like, well, how in the world did you get the job in the first place? You know, that just boggles my mind. You know, and a lot of people, they're like that. Me, I get on the job, and I want to get my work done. Whenever they come in and they say, hey, Vincent, we got some more supplies for you and everything, some people be like, oh, man, not me. I'm like, look, the more supplies we got, the more I can get this mess up out of here, you know. You know, because I want to get my job done. And yes, I come home, I'm tired and whatever, wake up the next morning, get it done again. And, you know, but that's life, you know. And if you don't want to, for those of you all out there who think you don't need to work a job or whatever, you know, you need to change your mindset, really. You know, no one said it's going to be easy, but just go out there and get your job done to the best of your ability. That's how I look at it. I see you there, Bianchi. Yes, she does sound a lot lovelier than I am, okay? But my wife is not a talker too much. You know, she doesn't, you know, do a lot of talking, but I'll pass that information on to her, okay? I'll let you know that. But anyway. How that new overworking, haven't smoked up the house, have you? I don't understand what you mean when you say that. You know, if you're talking about the job, I get an extra day off every week. So instead of 2 days off, I get 3 days off, and I work 4 10-hour days. So, oh, the oven. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I haven't smoked up the house. Well, for the most part, it's because my wife does most of the cooking. So, you know, my chances of smoking up the house have been reduced because my wife is the one who does most of the cooking. So, you know, but anyway, folks, I and those of you all who are in the queue, you called in and you're listening to the show. Please be patient with me, okay? Please don't leave, you know. And I know that there may be some reason you have to leave, you know. There might be a set amount of time, you know, you got to get something done by a certain amount of time and whatever. Please don't leave, you know. I really, your opinions really do matter to me, as long as they're respectful, okay? But your opinions really do matter to me. But anyway, I was at a men's breakfast this morning, and it's a bunch of men in my church, and they do this every Saturday. I go there every other Saturday. And, you know, someone said, well, who are you rooting for in the Super Bowl? And, you know, because, you know, Super Bowl is tomorrow. And, you know, I've totally absolved myself of the Super Bowl. You know, you all know why I don't watch football anymore. I might watch some highlights or anything. I still have a love for the game. I'm still a Miami Dolphins fan at heart. But the NFL has really, I just don't like the politics that have crept into the NFL within the last several years. You know, I'm tired of watching a clip of football and looking in the end zone and seeing stop racism. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of look, and then they say it takes all of us and everything. Yeah, it does take all of us. But when you think of racism as it's defined in this country today, it's usually a one-sided type of deal. They're not talking about racism of all kinds. They're talking about one kind of racism, and that's usually the racism of white people against everybody else. Especially white people against black people, because in the past several years, we had some incidents where some black people got killed by white cops, and people are like, oh, white cops are hunting down black people, and so we got to stop this thing. You know, they're killing our kids in the street. Our innocent kids are being killed in the streets, and this is a sign of racism. You know, Breonna Taylor and Michael Brown and all these others and everything, and these people died simply because they were black. And nobody really looks at the evidence of these incidents to determine if it was racist or not. But we keep pushing this narrative that racism is a blight on our country and has gotten worse over the past 50 years, even though I've shared my experiences of growing up in the 70s and the 80s, where I did not suffer the racism that they're talking about today. Yes, has a white person called me the N-word? Yes. But do I blame all white people for calling me that? No. First of all, the N-word does not offend me. It doesn't offend me at all. Why should it offend me when I hear black people using it all the time? When I was growing up, I used to watch All in the Family, The Jeffersons, Sanford and Son, and they used the N-word like a child eats candy. And a lot of these people who used the N-word were black. But now all of a sudden, oh, it's offensive, it's offensive. And then the question is asked, you know, why is it okay for your black rap artist to use the word, but a white person can't just use it in reference? Like, you know, I don't like, you know, a white person might say, you know, I don't like using that word, the N-word. And all of a sudden that person is a racist. Oh, well, we're trying to take back the power of that word. If you're trying to take back the power of the word, why are you offended at it? Why are you still offended when you hear that word, especially when a white person mentions it? Now, you're just making an excuse for your own deep-seated racism. That's what you're doing. But anyway, what is racism? And folks, let me just share this with you. I've been accused of saying the same thing on this show every Saturday. I'm trying to drive a point home. I might sound redundant and whatever, but I'm trying to drive home a point because people just don't get it. People just don't seem to get it. They have closed their minds to any type of logic or reason. And they refuse to believe what the truth is. They just want to believe what their point of view is saying to them. They don't care about the truth. They don't want to open their minds up and say, maybe I need to think on this thing at a different angle. They never want to do that. They always, they want to stick to their present mindset. And logic and reasoning and the truth cramps their style. It makes them feel uneasy. And this is the reason why they just want to continue to think the way they do. Now, if you're a type of person and you're listening to the sound of my voice and you still want to think along those lines, then I don't need you on this program. We there's nothing to debate because you're not willing to listen. All you're trying to do is force your narrative on me. You're trying to force your point of view on me. You're trying to get me to think like you do. And because I don't think like you do, you get mad. You get upset. You take it personal. And then you start with the insults and the character assassinations. I want people with an open mind. I want people with an open mind. I want people to be like, okay, let's be reasonable about this. But a lot of people, like I say all the time on this show, they are intellectually and mentally lazy. They want someone to do the thinking for them. They want the current of the river to take them to where they think they should be going. Instead of realizing, hey, wait a minute, the current of the river might be taking me to somewhere where I don't need to be. Let's see, I just left the show conversation with Dr. Melly, could not understand why I, a black person, would support a Donald Trump. He was saying a race war would be coming. I told him, don't be surprised when you look over on the other side and there stand black people who too support Donald Trump. When your kids say, I thought you said it was bad, white people I should be looking out for. Look, there are people that look like me over there with Trump. Are you sure we have the right race war? Yeah. Don't be this type of black person that has an individual point of view. You're so open-minded. You want to think for yourself. You're deemed a threat too. And I've actually heard the apostles of blackness say things like, we got to get rid of this individuality. It's time for the group to come together. We got to stop thinking in individually. But see, if you don't think individually, let's say your group is going in the wrong direction. Your group is just going, and you're just following the group, because, they wherever they go, you're just following them because they're going in that direction. You don't know if they're going in the wrong direction. But then when you find out you're going in the wrong direction, you say, it might not be too bad. I'm just going to continue going with the group. Instead of saying, wait a minute. Whoa, wait a minute. Why y'all going that way? That way leads to destruction. The bridge is out. We're going to fall into the water. Oh, well, we'll still go in this direction. Okay, well, I'll go with you too. You have to be an individual. You have to think individually. Just because a majority of people support a thing, that does not mean that it is true. And in a lot of cases, it is. But just because a lot of people favor going in one direction doesn't mean that's the direction you need to be going into. Just ask the people at Jamestown and Guyana back in 1978. Jonestown, excuse me. I get Jamestown, Jonestown, Johnstown. Jonestown, Jim Jones. He convinced nearly 1,000 people to commit suicide. Nearly 1,000 people committed suicide because they were convinced by this man. They were going in the direction this man was going. And then the people who realized, wait a minute, whoa, 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 this wasn't what I was this wasn't what I was asking for. You know, no, I don't want to go in. And you know what happened to those people? They got murdered. They got injected with the cyanide themselves. Oh, you don't want to go along with the crowd? Okay, let's hit you with the cyanide right quick. You'll be all right in about 5 minutes. I remember this movie from the early 90s, I think it was, called The Jump Squad. I think that's what it was called, The Jump Squad, where they were capture recalcitrant black folks because, you know, they gotten successful and everything, and they so-called beside themselves, and they try to condition them back into the ways of the black man and everything. One of the stupidest movies I think I ever seen. This is crazy mess. But we are so race-minded, we're not open-minded to anything else. We're so race-minded about, you know, what the white man is doing to the black man. We don't open our minds to, well, what about the racism of black people against white people? Oh, no, that doesn't exist. No, there's no such thing as a racist black person. We can't be racist because we don't have the power to be racist. I don't know what that means, really, be honest with you. You don't have the power to be racist. What do you mean? Do you hate white people? Yeah. Well, you're racist. No. It just means I'm prejudiced. If you are prejudiced against white people, you are racist. And once again, they try to absolve themselves of any of the responsibility of that term, racism. They want to see themselves as being better than the white man. Only white people can be racist. Who told you that? Who told you that? Some disillusioned, melanin-skinned-minded person gets up there and tells you, oh, we black people, we can't be racist. Why can't you? And then they call me stupid for saying that black people can be racist. And what do you mean black people don't have the power to be racist? What is that supposed to mean anyway? Black people do have the power to be racist. Anyone can be racist. Some of the racism I experienced in my life was black people against other black people. Dark-skinned black people didn't like the lighter skin. The lighter skin didn't like the darker skin. That's racist. So what do you mean black people don't have the power to be racist? That was one of the stupidest things I think I ever heard in my life. How in the world? So you're just going to drop it and just say, oh, no, we can't be racist. And then someone gets up there and they start this little word salad and everything telling you why you can't be racist being a black person. You're like, oh, yeah, duh, yeah, George, okay, George. I'm like, wow. But anyway, the reason why I started the show off with that, you know, about what is racism is because, you know, the burden of racism is always put on white folks. It's always put on white folks. And I see it in churches and work areas and everything. And, you know, white people like, yeah, black folks, we love you. You know, I've never been a racist and everything. And look, I'm like this. White people, get a spine. If you're not racist, don't try to defend yourself. I don't need a white person patronizing me and telling me, hey, I love you, black people. Okay, you do. Okay. But don't sit there and talk about, oh, yeah, I need to understand that I have certain privileges of being white. Well, guess what? I have certain privileges because I'm black. You ever thought of that? We don't need the Patriots. I don't need you to come up in my face and telling me you're sorry for what your grandfather did to mine. First of all, I don't even know if my people were enslaved. I don't even know if I was descended from slaves. 9 times out of 10, more than likely, I am. But I have no assurance of that. I really don't know. And to sit here and just use slavery as the catch-all of why black people don't succeed today is an egregious mistake. You can't sit there and talk about, oh, the reason why, black people don't get ahead because, you know, the white man's keeping us down and, you know, we went through 400 years of slavery, which that's a lie. Well, people keep getting this 400 years of slavery. This country is not even 400 years old. They keep, 400, we've been in oppression for 400 years. Now, I remember the apostles of blackness back in, before 2019, they said 2019 will mark 400 years that we were taken from our native lands in Africa and brought here. And so, you know, that'll mark 400 years, so a revolution is going to come, and the revolution never came. See, a lot of these pro-black people, these Afrocentrists and everything, all they do is bounce their lip. That's all they do. And white folks, stop being intimidated of these people. Stop sitting there trying to over-assure yourself, if that's a word, over-assure yourself that you're not a racist. If you're not a racist, you're not a racist. I can't remember the last time I had an incident with a racist white person. Now, keep in mind, they're probably racist white people in this country. Yeah. I might work with some, but they just don't show it because they know if they show that they're racist, they can lose their jobs or their prestige or whatever. But the last time I think I had an encounter with a racist white person was back in the 1980s. I'm not going to look down on all white people because that one white person called me the N-word. And we put this burden of racism on white people. And white people, they just sit there and say, yeah, we'll carry this burden. No. You black people out there, you need to be carrying that weight too, because I'll be honest with you. The most racist people I've seen in this country have been people that look like me. And you can sit there and say, oh, you're just playing up to the white man. You're making a white man feel good. You're making them feel comfortable while making your statement. You can say all you want to. I'm telling the truth. It's not my truth. It's the truth. And the thing that really bothers me, that really rankles my hide, are black people that call themselves Christians and they have this same mindset. Yeah, white people, yeah, they got the privilege. They can get whatever they want. And you can go to any city with a homeless population and just count the white folks. Probably more white homeless than there are black homeless. No, but the white man is holding, the white man's not holding, you're holding yourself back with that mentality. You know, we blame white folks because of the crime in our city, saying they gave us the guns, they gave us the drugs. Well, you didn't have to accept them. You didn't have to accept them. I mean, my goodness, you gonna blame the white people because of drugs in your community? And you know what drugs can do, but you still accepted them. Don't give me this garbage. You still sat there and accepted the drugs. You accepted the guns. And now you want to blame white people for the plight that your black communities are in today. That's stupid. That's silly. Let me go to this article that I pulled up on Yahoo. Folks, and let me just put out my disclaimer out here. I know Yahoo is not a good source of information. Okay, I understand that. This happens to be one of the sites I come across in my daily surfing on the internet and everything and stuff like that. Okay. Now, you got a problem with me checking out Yahoo, then, you know, then that's on you. That's your problem, not mine. Okay. But this article at Yahoo is from BuzzFeed. BuzzFeed, yeah. There's a buzzword right there. Pun intended. Six privileged phrases that white people say without realizing it. And this article is from Wednesday. Feminist scholar and anti-racism educator Peggy McIntosh famously described white privilege as an invisible, weightless knapsack of special provisions, maps, passports, code books, visas, clothes, tools, and blank checks. In other words, white people typically move through life unaware of all the head starts, resources, and access the color of their skin affords them. I can say that about black folks, but I digress. They don't recognize these unearned advantages until they're pointed out. And even then, some white people will try to deny the existence of their privilege. So black people don't have privileges? It should be noted that merely acknowledging your white privilege isn't enough, but it is one small and necessary step toward taking action and wielding that privilege to help dismantle the systems that oppress the black community and other people of color in this country. What are they supposed to do? What are white people supposed to do? They're supposed to use their how are they supposed to use their privilege to make sure the system of oppression is broken down in the black communities? What are they supposed to do? Doesn't matter what a white person does, still have a problem with white privilege. You're still white privilege. White privilege. We talk to educators, activists, therapists, and professors about the things white people often say that highlight their privilege without them realizing it. And they never give a list of the people that they talk to. Give me some receipts. I need to see some receipts. Number one, it's not my job to fix racism because I'm not racist. I've never heard a white person say this. Not saying that a white person doesn't say it, but I've never heard a white person say this. Well, we can direct this to black folks. Why don't you help fix racism? Oh, it's not my job to fix racism because I'm not racist. What are you doing to fix racism? Instead of crying out in the street and tearing down buildings and robbing Apple stores and everything like that, what are you doing to stop racism in this country? Nothing. But they put this burden on the white folks and they say, oh, they say it's not their job to fix racism because they're not racist. I would verily doubt that a lot of white people think this way. Let me go on with this article. It says, what you're essentially saying is because the systemic racism doesn't hurt you personally, a privileged position to be in, you don't need to be involved in the fight against it. White people must step up to the plate, act as allies, and use their privilege for good. Why don't you use your privilege for good, black folks? And what is the systemic racism? Nobody has aptly defined what systemic racism is. What systemic racism? Supposedly, it means, you know, there's some code in our laws that are just for white people, but it's not for black. Okay, well then, won't you point those codes out? Won't you point out the systemic racism? But they always point to, oh, you see how the cops do white people and black people? You know, the cops pull over a black person for speeding. That black person end up getting killed. Lie. The white person can shoot up a church and they'll take him to Burger King. How many white people get sent to Burger King because they killed somebody? Someone answer me that. It takes the actions of every single person to call out racist behavior to be a part of the solution, Michelle Sahin, co-founder of From Privilege to Progress, told Huffington Post. There's another red flag. It's a privilege to be able to only talk about race and never experience it. It's a privilege to choose not to talk about it or acknowledge it. What makes you think white people haven't experienced racism? And see, they put this on all white people, not just certain white people. They put this off on all white people. I could be a white person just minding my business, go to the grocery store and everything. You could be looking at me like, look at them. They got their privilege. Y'all see how high the grocery prices have gone up lately? Guess who's complaining about it? Black people and white people. So what privilege are the white people got? They're not paying lower. They're not going up to the cashier, and the cashier says, oh, you're white. Okay, we're going to give you our white discount. No, you're paying the same price as everybody else is. So where's the systemic racism that people keep talking about? Come on, folks. Come on. Let's be real. Come on. And white folks, once again, get a spine. Stop this stuff. Stop this. Oh yeah. I know I got privilege because I'm white. Stop it. Most white people I run into, I'd say 99.9% of white people I run into are not racist. If they are, they've done a very bad job of showing it. This statement also ignores the fact that racism is largely a structural issue, not just an individual one. Okay, so show me the structural racism. People of color will also like to live in a world where their skin color didn't impact the way they were treated and just never talk about race, Sahin added. But systemic racism is real. People of color must talk about race to navigate a system that was never meant for their freedom and continues with the support of white silence. You got to be kidding me. And see, once again, you get these people, they act like they're the saviors of black folks, and they act like they talk for all of us. Sahin doesn't talk for me because I can't go out and say, oh, yeah, every week I see some instance of racism being directed at me. I don't see it. Not saying that it's not out there, but no one has ever directed a racist comment to me in 40 years. And you can say I'm delusional all you want to. You say all that little cute little stuff because I don't think like you do because, you know, something happened to you with some white people and you just conjured up in your mind, oh, they did that because they were racist. They don't like black people. But you can do the same thing to a white person, but oh, no, that wasn't racist. Number two. Now, this is something I kind of agree with, but just listen to me when I understand this. Number two, I don't see color. They say that's a privileged white statement. Okay, there are black people that say this too. And to be honest with you, this is a statement I think it's quite dishonest to say you don't see color. I see color all the time. Matter of fact, I'm glad I see color. One of the main reasons why my wife and I go to the church that we do, because we see color. We see the diversity in the church. We see Hispanic people. We see Oriental people. We see African people. We see white people. We see all types of different people. One of the guys that used to preach in our church, he was an Australian white guy. He looked like Tom Brady, but he was a white guy. That's one of the main reasons why my wife and I go to this church, because of the diversity. We're tired of going to a church where everyone is black. And just because you're a black person, you go into a black church, does not mean you are in a safe space, whatever that means. But, you know, when people say, I don't see color, I think that's not a genuine statement to make, because I see it all the time. I can look at a person and say, okay, that's a white person right there, but that's as far as I let it go. I'm talking to the white folks. I'm talking to the black folks. Let me go on. It says the intent behind this statement is to demonstrate that you're not a prejudiced person. But as psychologist Erlanger Turner put it, we all see racial differences unless we're visually impaired. Yeah, I understand that. Refusing to acknowledge the color of someone's skin is also a refusal to acknowledge the struggles they've been. See, they always got to add the little racist element to it. Refusing to acknowledge the color of someone's skin is also a refusal to acknowledge the struggles they've endured and discrimination they face because of their race. So a black person can notice a white person, and it's okay. But a black person noticing, let me rephrase that. It's all right for a black person to acknowledge that white people have privilege and everything like this. But when a white person says, I don't see color, I see us as all equal. Oh, there's a problem with that. There's a problem with that. For most white people, they had the privilege to receive many benefits in society based on whiteness. What benefits? Please tell me, what benefits? They keep making these vague statements talking about the benefits of white people and the privileges they have, but they don't have any receipts. They never show the receipts. They had the privilege to receive many benefits in society based on whiteness that people of color don't receive. Like what? Better education? I remember some years ago, I was on the internet and came across a story about this little girl, 4 years old. She knew her 50 states and their capitals. And her parents were, you know, they were sitting there and they said, yeah, that, you know, our little girl, she's smart. If you say a sentence out of, you know, if you say a sentence wrong or whatever, you say something, you mispronounce a word, she's going to let you know. 4 years old. Guess what color this little girl was? And her parents and her siblings. She was black. So what prevented this girl from knowing her states and capitals at the age of four? What prevented her from knowing that? I don't think I knew my states and capitals when I was 4 years old. I know them now. Little black girl. Little adorable looking black girl too. And, you know, the news reporter was talking to her and just flipped off a question to the girl, and the girl answered it. No, you know, no expression on her face. Said, what's the capital of Minnesota? St. Paul. And just continue playing with their toys. A few years ago, Zayla Avant-Garde, girl in Louisiana, won the spelling bee. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, black person won the spelling bee. Black person won the spelling bee. Black person could have always won the spelling bee. She was the first black person to win the spelling bee. Someone told me that her roots are from Zaire, if I'm correct, one of those African countries. And everyone's singing the praises of this black girl. She won the spelling bee. Oh, yeah, this black girl won it. Y'all could have done that a long time ago. Already had a black Jamaican girl win it before. And then, you know, we want to celebrate like this is an accomplishment of our collective. No. That's her trophy. We didn't win the spelling bee. She did. And it just goes to prove to you, to show you all these excuses that we keep making about why black people can't make it. You know, systemic racism. Systemic racism didn't stop her. For most white people, they had the privilege to receive many benefits in society based on whiteness that people of color don't receive, said Turner, an assistant professor of psychology at Pepperdine University, who studies mental health among racial and ethnic communities. For example, think about the recent protests in Michigan when white men went into a state government building with guns and they didn't experience any harm. Yet, black people engage in peaceful protests and police are shooting them with rubber bullets. That's white privilege. Give me an example. Once again, that's a vague statement. That's a vague statement. And you have to look at all the circumstances within each, you know, each situation. Give me an example. There's no need to worry about, number three, there's no need to worry about the police if you're not doing anything illegal. This goes for everybody. This ain't just for black people. This is not just being directed at black people. This statement is being, and yes, you do have police officers that step out of the line of duty, do far and above what they should be doing. And it isn't just against black people. It's done against white people as well. Because you got some police officers who are a bunch of jerks. And they're not motivated by your skin color. They're motivated because, hey, I got this taser, I got this gun, I got this nightstick. Now, most police officers, they're trained not to be like that. But you still got some, you know, they want to go over and above their duties. But this ain't just going against black people. And they got a picture of Breonna Taylor here. And I wish they would stop showing Breonna Taylor. Breonna Taylor was not murdered because she was black. Breonna Taylor was murdered because her cowardly boyfriend used her as a human shield when police shot into her apartment. Oh, they would have done that in a white apartment. And the tragic thing about Breonna Taylor is she kept bad company. I don't believe Breonna Taylor did not deserve to die. And I acknowledge that. But she kept, it was the company she kept. Like they say, you know, beware the company that you keep. She wanted to hang out with the thugs, and that's what ended up taking her life. It had nothing to do with racist white cops. But we still, Breonna Taylor, that other girl, Sandra Bland. They say, yeah, she was murdered by cops too. She wasn't murdered by cops. She murdered herself. And they wanted to bring this thing up that, you know, she actually... You know, that she was dead when they took her mugshot. The police had already murdered her when they took her mugshot. I said, y'all got to be kidding me. And then people asked, well, why'd they put her in a cell with a trash can with a trash bag in it? Like, yeah, hey, you know, maybe the little black lady will hang herself with that trash bag that we got in the trash can in there. See, too many people thinking too much into these situations. The way white people perceive and interact with law enforcement is far different from the way black and Latino people do. Garbage. Black people have been killed by police while doing everyday activities. Bossom Jean was eating ice cream in his living room. What happened to Bossom Jean was tragic, and the police officer that shot him, She was probably high on drugs or something like that, but she didn't just shoot him because he was black. Breonna Taylor was sleeping in her bed. She was not sleeping in her bed when she got shot. And Tatiana Jefferson was playing video games with her nephew, just to name a few. I'm not familiar with that Tatiana Jefferson, but I guarantee you I look into that story and won't be, oh, she was killed because she was black. There's also a history of police disproportionately pulling over, stopping, and arresting black people over minor infractions or for no apparent reason. Just the black folks? Let me tell you all something. If you're a policeman and you're on the side of the road and someone comes by speeding or you get behind somebody and they didn't turn on their blinker when they switched lanes or whatever, 9 times out of 10, that police officer does not know the skin color of the person in that car. So that's not a good defense. Why are you only pulling over the black people? It just so happens that when they do pull over a speeder, hey, he's black. And what we need to do is say, black people, let's stop speeding. Sometimes I notice when I'm going above the speed limit, I have to slow myself down. Now, I haven't gotten a ticket of any kind in 10 years. Last time I got a ticket, I was driving through Alabama, and I was speeding. It was 55 mile an hour. It was a 35 mile an hour zone, and I was doing 55. Before I could slow down, saw the police officer at the gas station, and I zoomed by, and I saw the police officer turn into the road. Before dude even turned his lights on, I'd already pulled over. Because I said, oh, he caught me. I was speeding. And the only thing I was nervous about was having to pay that ticket. I was like, I hope he lets me off. I'm in another state I'm not familiar with. But I still had to pay that ticket. And the police officer was cordial. He didn't have his hand on his gun. He didn't tell me to get out the car. In Alabama, you know, Alabama is supposedly one of the most racist states in the United States. And I think we were there for like 10 minutes. He said, where you going? I said, I'm going to Durham, North Carolina. You know, I'm turning home from Florida, going to Durham, North Carolina. Boom, boom, boom. Went to his car, checked out everything. Boom. I didn't cop an attitude. My wife was quiet the whole time. She was quiet the whole time. I was the only one speaking. Gave me the ticket. I was on my way. Yeah, my pride was hurt a little bit because I was like, I should have known better. But you know what? I had to pay the ticket. He didn't pull me over because I was black. And he didn't kill me either because I'm still living, not unless you're talking to a ghost. And as was the case with George Floyd, the Minneapolis man who was killed in police custody after allegedly buying cigarettes with a counterfeit $20 bill, which is a crime. Even minor incidents can escalate into deadly violence. What violence? George Floyd was not murdered violently. I saw the videotape, seen the video several times. Now, at first I was like, Derek Chauvin should have known better than keep his knee in that man's back. But I saw a documentary called The Fall of Minneapolis. I would recommend you watch that. In their police rules, they state when a person is on the ground and you got your knee in his back, you're supposed to stay in that position until paramedics arrive. I was like, oh, I did not know that. And then you had the stupid police chief throw his fellow officers, one of them who was black, under the bus saying, oh, we don't train them that way. And the mother of Derek Chauvin showed the training, the training brochure, and said that's how they train them. In other words, Derek Chauvin was doing his job. And see, because the rest of the public doesn't know this and everything, we buy into it. Now, I didn't buy into the whole racism thing. I was like, you know, Derek, you shouldn't put your knee in the man's back like that for that long. My gosh, man, what are you doing? But no, he was doing his job. And he almost got killed in prison a couple of months ago for doing his job. He's in prison for no reason. Derek Chauvin needs to be released from prison, him and his fellow police officers. Okay, Gunslinger, I see you. I'm going to hold off till the next hour, and I'm going to get my callers in. But just stay there. Just hey, be patient with me, okay? If you got to go somewhere, I understand. But you know, just be patient with me. White people often claim that black people specifically should have nothing to worry about if they black people aren't doing anything illegal. Yeah, they shouldn't. Just like anybody else. What about, you know, if a black cop is racist and pulls over a white person, you gonna say anything about that? Oh, that don't happen. Oh, okay. All right. White people often claim that black people specifically should have nothing to worry about if they black people aren't doing anything illegal, said anti-racism educator Myesha T. Hill, author of Check Your Privilege, Live Into the Work. This is because white people, notice when they mention black people, they capitalize black. They capitalize the B in black, but they don't capitalize the W in white, as if black people are superior. That's racism to me. That's racist right there. Why can't you capitalize white? Anyway, I digress. This is because white people tend to feel an innate sense of safety and security from the policing policies that racially profile and target black people, in many cases leading to the use of excessive or even lethal force. This is a prime example of white privilege. That's a bunch of garbage once again. That's garbage. How do you know white people tend to feel an innate sense of safety and security? How do you know that? I remember I was sitting in a break room of the job I was working at one time, and I just overheard these people at this table just talking. And this white lady, she said, you know, she said, I hear people getting by with, you know, tickets and whatever. You know, she said, I've heard cops letting people off, you know, with tickets, let them get by and everything. She said, shoot, every time, I've been pulled over by the police 8 times, and every time I had to pay a ticket. And, you know, me just being nosy, I'm just sitting there just listening to this. I'm like, that's a white lady. Y'all stop this mess. You have no receipts. You have no proof. You have no evidence that black people are in more danger of the police than white people are. You have no proof at all. I don't want to post about racism on social media because I'm scared of the backlash. What white person has ever said that? And the fear of relatives on following you on Instagram or leaving All Lives Matter comments on your Facebook post prevents you from speaking up at all. Your priorities are out of order. Refusing to use your voice and platform in this way is putting your comfort above all else, even above humanity, Shaheen said. It is a privilege to not have to take a risk of alienating yourself from others, she said. It's saying that the drama or backlash you don't want to face from potential racists is more important than speaking out against innocent people being oppressed. Once again, putting that weight on white people. What about black people doing the same thing? I don't have white privilege. Number five, some white folks insist white privilege doesn't apply to them because they're not wealthy or because they work hard for what they have or because their life has been a struggle in any number of ways. They get defensive when they hear the term because they don't really understand it. Understand what? If you worked hard to get to where you are, why is that a sign of racism, a privilege? And now, if these people were being privileged, they wouldn't have to work hard to get by. White privilege doesn't mean all white people live charmed lives. That's exactly what y'all keep saying. Y'all keep saying, you know, it doesn't mean all white people live charmed lives, but y'all keep talking like they do. It simply means that the color of your skin is not one of the reasons you may experience personal or professional hurdles, said Abigail Makepeace, a marriage and family therapist who specializes in trauma. For white people to dismiss the benefits they've reaped because of their whiteness only goes to show how oblivious and privileged they really are. See, white people can't win. White people can't win. They can't win for losing. They do the right thing. Oh, your white privilege. They do the wrong thing. Your white privilege. The mere assumption that someone does not benefit from systemic privilege reveals how inherently unaware they may be of systemic racism, Makepeace said. Ignorance of complicity indicates that someone has been protected from and sheltered by the system, a luxury that people of color have never had. Where do they get this information from? They don't show any information. I'm not sure when I should start talking to my kids about racism. One of the most common concerns Hill hears from white moms is not knowing when or how they should broach the subject of racism with their children. White moms, what about white dads? The question itself demonstrates that white parents had the ability to wait for the right, quote-unquote, time to talk to their kids about racial discrimination. Parents of color are often forced into having those conversations with their kids at a young age. My parents didn't force me into that. This urge to shelter their white children from the realities of racism is directly born of their own white privileges. Black, brown, indigenous, Asian, Pacific Islander, people of color do not have the luxury of putting blinders up to shield our children from racism. You do know Asian people are about the lowest demographics that commit crimes and things like that. You don't hear about them getting pulled over and beaten down and stuff like that. And, of course, they're not making excuses for why their kids are not educated because they believe in a strong education. But nobody talks about that. But anyway, our livelihoods depend on us constantly having these heart-wrenching conversations with our children. So white people don't need to talk about to their white kids about how to respect the police. Don't worry, son, you're white. The police will just let you go. And if you kill a black person, they'll send you to Burger King. Our livelihoods depend on us constantly having these heart-wrenching conversations with our children from very early ages about why they have to behave differently from white children and what to do if we are pulled over by the police, because our safety is never guaranteed. Nobody's safety is guaranteed. Just because you're black doesn't mean you're the only one whose safety is not guaranteed. Nobody's safety is guaranteed. Conversations about race need to become the norm in white homes too, Sahin said. What makes you think that they're not going on? In order to teach anti-racism and raise socially conscious and inclusive children to be a part of the solution. No matter what white folks do, people are still going to view them as white people. I've gone a little bit over my hour. Folks, let me go ahead and do these my advertisements. When I finish, I'm going to come to the phones. I see a couple of people got their hands raised already, and you all been on the phones for the longest time. I will come back and I will take your phone calls. You are listening to Black My Color Only on CNM Radio.
Hi, In the Sky Drone Services, located in Albuquerque, New Mexico, is your one-stop shop for drone photography from a perspective that for a company was hard to get before without endangering the health of your employees. Get aerial photography easy with Eye in the Sky Drone Services at 505-317-8741 and rest easy in your decision. Did you know podcast advertising is one of the most effective ways to advertise your product or service? Thousands of people could be hearing your ad here. To start boosting your business with podcast advertising, go now to conservativenationmedia2017@gmail.com and send us a copy of the ad you want played, and we will do the rest. Thank you, and God bless.
To the show, you want to be a guest to call in to the show, call-in number is 646-478-5284. Now, before I go to the phones, I just want to read a quote right quick from Booker T. Washington. There is a certain class of race problem solvers who don't want the patient to get well, because as long as the disease holds out, they have not only an easy means of making a living, but also an easy medium through which to make themselves prominent before the public. Now, I'm just going to leave that right there. Anyway, I know it's still wintertime, but, you know, sometimes you still get these doggone fruit bats, man. I tell you, they're like roaches. My fruit bat alarm. That means I'm about to go to the phones, and those of you all been on the show, you know what the deal is. If you're on the phone, if you're on the phone and you want to indulge in disrupting this program with excessive profanity, ad hominem attacks, character assassinations, gaslighting, and things of that sort, you best hang up now, or else I'll be happy, more than happy, to oblige you. Okay, I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. We can have an honest, mature discussion without it turning disrespectful, okay? So having said that, let me go to this first caller. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hi, this is a Gunslinger from Dallas, Texas.
Ah, Gunslinger. How is that, you know, how is that coincidental that you're a gunslinger from Dallas?
I'm a native Texan of Texas. Been here, born here, raised here, the whole nine yards. And I just turned 60 years old January 11th. Okay. Very interesting.
Happy birthday.
Very interesting. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. Very interesting topic. There's probably, unfortunately, we don't live in a utopian society. Be nice, but it doesn't work out that way. They are bad on both sides of the fence, on the black side and the white side. And I'm white, by the way, which I'll never apologize for being white. There are people out there that will take this thing to the max, okay, which is terrible. People do what they want to do. It's called this free will thing, okay?
Yeah.
Just like he was talking about a while ago. You know, here's a bag of dope, Mr. Black Person. Well, you have a choice. You can either take it or you can leave. Walk away from it. Just like with crime in this country. Well, crime around the world, for that matter. Okay. When you have this opportunity, you know, people have this, people don't. People have this, people don't. It's human nature that the people that don't is going to want to take from the people that do.
Okay? Yeah.
That's psychology. That is pure psychology. And that's the way it's always been. And unfortunately, that's probably the way it's always going to be. Okay. As long as there's monetary value in things that we live in every day, in society, in this country, and in this world for that matter, okay? It is, wherever racism got started, I don't know. Maybe it got started back in the days of biblical times. They probably had racism back then too, I imagine. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
But maybe. But it did get started somewhere, okay? Everything has a starting point. I don't care what it is. Just like with the Civil War. I'm Southern. Okay, because I was born and raised right outside of Dallas, Texas. Okay, it wasn't about slavery, the Civil War. Both sides of the Civil War had slaves before the war, during the war, and even after the war. They still remained, a lot of them, slaves. There was a lot of slaves that wanted to remain on the plantations on both sides when the war was over. Because they had everything good. They had a job, they had education, they had a roof over their head, they had food in their mouth, you know, blah, blah, blah. Okay. And it wasn't about slavery. It was about states' rights and money. Had nothing to do with slavery. Okay. So that was a misconception right there, right off the bat. Boom. And people will blame today, even today, that was over 100 and something years ago. But they're still blaming the Civil War on slavery. the people that were supposedly enslaved blames a symbol, I'm going to say, the Southern flag, the Confederate flag, okay?
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with racism. It has nothing to do whether you're better or worse or whatever. It is a Christian symbol. Don't believe me? Go look it up. Okay?
St. Andrew's Cross. Christian,
yep, that's right. Same thing with the German swastika. It is a Christian symbol before the Nazis turned it into a hate symbol. Don't believe me? Go look it up. Okay? So it's people that do this kind of stuff. These are just symbols, okay? They're just inanimate objects. Just like the gun I carry on my side. That's why I'm called a gunslinger, okay? I carry a gun. I don't carry a gun to, I'm better than you are. I carry a gun to protect myself. I don't care who you are, whether you're a two-legged kind or a four-legged kind in today's society. I mean, because crime has completely ran rapid. Like a rabid dog. And it's getting worse. It's getting worse.
Yeah.
Especially with this open border and crap down here, okay? It's really getting worse. It's a sad situation.
And can I inject something right quick? Can I inject something right quick, too? I'm starting to believe that it's irresponsible for a man who has a family to not have a gun to protect his family. I really... believing and see, I'm talking to myself when I say that because I don't own a gun, never had to. But when I look at what I see going on in the world, I actually do think there is some irresponsibility if you don't have a gun to protect your family.
That's right. That's right. You're right. You hit the nail right on the head. And I've carried a gun my entire life. I was born around guns. Okay, I shot my first high powered 12 gauge shotgun pump when I was 10 years old. Knocked me on my ass and loved it ever since. Okay.
Oh, wow.
I was never in the military, but I was a law enforcement for 3 years out of high school. I got my CHL in Dallas in 95 when the law was passed in 95 with a concealed handgun license. And I've carried one ever since. Okay. And I have seen it go from real, you know, there's always been crime. There always will be crime. Okay. That's just, again, that's human nature. Okay.
Yeah.
But even from then, it has increased exponentially, okay, over the years, triple and quadruple, okay? I'm a retired master electrician, electrical engineer, okay? I deal with numbers. I was in the field for 20 years, okay, retired, okay? So I know numbers. Numbers don't lie. You can manipulate numbers, but you can't really make them lie unless you want them to make them lie, okay?
Yeah.
And when you see all this stuff goes on increasingly every single day, something is wrong somewhere. This system, there's something wrong with this system. This over the past, I'd say 2 years, I guess, I just recently graduated to a 9mm that I carry. I carry 60 rounds on my gun belt when I go out.
Wow.
Because you never know what's going to happen.
You never know.
I don't care where you are. I don't care what position you're in. You never know what is going to happen or what is right around that corner. Whether you're getting gas, whether you're going into your favorite restaurant. I go to my favorite restaurant over here in Arlington, Texas, okay? It's right by I-20, a major interstate that goes east and west through Texas here. When I come out of that restaurant, I have my hand on my gun, just in case. You never know. You cannot take chances, because if you do, you might have somebody sending flowers to your funeral, okay?
That's right.
I've been in a few shoot situations, and I don't care what color you are. If you're a criminal, you're a criminal. You
That's
can be
right.
pink, polka dotted, and glowing green. I don't care. Okay, if you're out to harm me, whether you're black, whether you're white, there's trash on both sides, alien from Mars, I don't care.
That's right.
I'm going to engage you because I'm going to go home. This person may go to the morgue, okay? Because if you choose that course in your life, and life is a bitch, no doubt about it, and it's short, too damn short, okay? If you choose that, then, well, you have to accept the consequences that comes mm-hmm. with that choice.
That's right.
You know, people that does this, that does this criminality, I didn't go out there and hold a gun to their head and say, you're going to become a criminal, and you're going to go out there and rob and kill people. No, I didn't.
Yeah.
They chose that on their own free will. And once you choose that on your own free will, you have to accept the consequences of what's going to happen. You come through my door, I'm going to turn you into Swiss cheese.
Let's I know that's cheese. Right.
Plain and simple.
Sprinkle them with pepper.
There's not going to be no discussion. There's not going to be no, let's go ahead. Let's sit down there. Let's talk about this. No. You're going to the morgue. Come through my door. Or try to harm me. Or, you know, any of my, you know, family members or whatever. Okay. Walking down the street. Come up, you know, you're going to give me your money or I'm going to knife you. Really? You're not going home. I am. And it's the situation like it is today. But they've chose their own path. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Go ahead.
Yeah. And I've actually heard people, like, if somebody was breaking into someone's house and they ended up getting sprinkled with pepper and, you know, then their relatives come out and say, you didn't have to shoot them, you know. You got to understand that's how they get their clothes for their kids and all that and everything. By breaking into my house?
Breaking into my
are
house?
Are you serious?
Really? Yeah, are you serious? What are you talking? What are you? Are you crazy? Maybe you could have some of that. Maybe you've been poking too much of that local weed. You know.
I mean, really. You know. Let me get this. Let me get this other caller on here. My goodness, I got three more callers. Wow. Okay. All right. Let me get this one. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. As if I don't know who this is.
What is that, Vincent?
What's cracking, Bianchi?
That guy gunslinger, man, you got to watch him. Sometimes he be howling at the moon.
Yeah, that's right. I'm a howling. I can howl. There's no doubt about that.
But, you know, you made a good comment earlier about the NFL. I don't watch them either. Mm-hmm. And didn't really at first, even though I got a nephew who's about ready to go in there. But I don't watch them because of all the messages they got off the place. And see, here's the thing. I can't understand why come blacks put all their kids to that one effort solely and not accompany it with education. But let me tell you something. Have you ever been to a combine? A combine is where you have athletes come out to see who can run the fastest, throw the farthest, and jump the highest.
That's right.
And when they get down to the final pick, you know what they do? Them athletes strip down to their shorts, and the coaches come by and look at their bodies, looking for flaws. Yep. What did that remind you of? Come on now, what does that remind you of?
Mm,
you remember the
see.
Movie Goodbye, Uncle Tom?
Oh, man,
you ever
let's
watch
see.
That?
No, I never seen it.
Goodbye, Uncle Tom. It's on YouTube. It's when they brought the slaves in. They stripped them down, and they came by and looked at their bodies, and guess what else? They male members.
Mm-mm.
And it's going on with your kids today, and you really enjoying it.
Yep.
If I'm lying, somebody tell me I'm lying. Because I like for people to tell me that I'm lying. Of course, I can straighten it out.
Yeah. Yeah. And who was that brought that up? I think it was Colin Kaepernick. You know, he said, you know, in the NFL, they do you like they did back in the days of slavery and everything. And I'm like, there's a huge difference, though. In the NFL, you get paid millions of dollars, you know, so.
Well, you usually had one or two that done okay. They ate a little bit better than everything else. Another point.
Yeah.
Thing with Joe Biden. I'm glad that I had opportunity for Tucker Carlson had an interview with Putin. And it's two documents out on there. One is fake, or it's really not totally fake. It's been altered. But the one that's got the true wordage and interview, it's out there too. And I got hip to it from Facebook, because when I put the Franklin on, they restricted me for 2 days. And I said, well, this came off. They restricted me for 6 days. Then they gave me a link to the real one. And you should read the real one. And he didn't say perverting like you thought he said in the first one, but he said the United States got problems on the southern border, and they got problems with a $33 trillion debt. Why are they worried about the Ukraine? Verbatim, no, but he said it like that. And another thing, he said, Russia did not destroy Nord Stream 1 nor damage Nord Stream 2. And the question is, why would they? They're selling gas to Germany and the rest of Europe.
Yeah.
Well, here it comes now that I want to know this question. Why in the hell is Joe Biden and his administration canceling gas projects in southwest Louisiana and in southeast Texas? Don't he know that you're hurting the livelihood of Americans by doing that?
He don't care.
And the bigger question, why in the hell does the federal government have something to say about that anyway? That's for the state of Texas, the country of Texas, to monitor and manage. The same with Louisiana or any other place.
That's right. That's right. You know, it's supposed to be states' rights, but, you know, and I keep hearing people talking about, you know, if we vote for Donald Trump, if we vote for Donald Trump, he's going to be a dictator and everything. What do you think we got in office right now? You know,
no,
I mean, he sells off all our.
Who do you call? What do you call James Clyburn, who's been there for about 40 years?
Oh, wow.
What do you call Maxine Waters, who's been there for about 40 years? What did you call
Bunch
John Cornish, who's been there for about 47 years? Charlie Rangel, Lacey Clay,
Bunch of features.
His daddy, Bill Clay, 32 years, his son, 18. That sounds like a damn dictator to me.
Yeah, I tell you, you know. And, you know, he sells off our strategic oil reserves, you know, and it'll probably take decades to get those back, if I'm correct, you know. And I'm so sick of looking at these gas prices going up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. It's like they go up and then they come down, then they go up, then they go down. And basically what he's trying to do, he's trying to put a Band-Aid on a wound that needs stitches, you know, and he thinks he's doing, you know, and I really don't think it's Joe Biden. I think it's someone, you know, working behind the scenes telling him to do all this stuff, because you're not going to get me to believe that this man that we saw in the interview this week, you're not going to get me to believe that this man is actually running the country. You're not going to get me to believe that. You know, I don't even think he's going to be a Democrat candidate by the time the election comes around.
Well, they got something on him. They caught him in the closet in the back room doing something. I don't know what it is. Because I like the old Joe Biden back. I like the old Robert Byrd type Joe Biden. I like the old Joe Biden that said that his kids wasn't going to them jungle schools in the hood.
Yeah.
I like him. He seemed like he had a little bit more sense. But damn, you don't know what this person has got. You scared actually to get up in the morning and look at the paper. You scared to answer the phone nowadays. I am, because when Sarge called me, I don't know what are you going to tell me new.
Let me see. Now, I had two other callers. One just dropped, but I still got one in the queue. Let me see who this caller is. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. Uh-oh. Silence. Caller? Hello, caller. Uh-oh. No one's responding. I'll put them back on mute.
Well,
I'll pick them up again.
Go back to Gunslinger. He always got something to say.
Yeah, Gunslinger's still on.
There's other problems that we got to worry about now, especially I'm in Texas, you know, I'm a border state down here.
I don't live near the border. I live in the north part of Texas. I've been down there a couple times. But we're being invaded, people. This is an invasion. I don't care where, what color you are, okay? We are being invaded. I mean, this is, I can see it over the past couple of years that this illegals, which to me they are illegals and they have no rights because they're not citizens. Until you come into this country the legal way, you're not a citizen of this country. I was raised and born here, right here in Dallas, Texas, okay? I could be president if I wanted to. You wouldn't want me as president. Well, maybe you might.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
You make my vote.
So, you know, you got to fight fire with fire. Okay? That's why I'm called the gunslinger. Okay? And I've always been called the gunslinger because I've always carried a gun. Okay? And for people that and gun sales are through the roof over the past couple of years. Ammunition sales are up 10,000%.
Good gracious.
Why? Because people are getting tired of being the victims out here in society. Okay. I mean, look at it. Every time I turn on this computer, I always see something on the news. This guy's getting mugged. This girl's getting raped. This guy, home invasion. This guy, this one here, place shot up. I mean, gee whiz. I mean, where's it going to end at?
Yeah.
Well,
and I want to say something on that too. You know, a lot of times I hear them say things like, if you're walking down the street and someone pulls out a gun, they say, you know, give me your wallet. Give them your wallet because, you know, material things are not. Your life is more valuable than material things, and I understand that. But nobody ever says you might want to consider getting a gun when you go out on the street. They never say that. It's always like the government has the solution. You know, the government is the one that's going to protect you. No, the government, you know, the police officer can only respond after a crime has happened. But, you know, if I'm carrying my own protection on my hip, you know, see, I can prevent it. You know, I can prevent that from happening, but they don't want that. You know, your material things are not as valuable as your life. So, you know, give them whatever. Why should I give them my possessions that I've worked hard for and you just come up with a gun and I just hand it over to you? No.
Y'all know what else? You had a federal judge rule, I think it was a female, that Donald Trump did not have immunity because he was a president on January the 6th.
Okay.
Okay. Wait a minute. We just seen on video where you had some illegals kicking the snot out of some police officers. That's a crime.
Yeah.
So the family of those victims should sue Joe Biden because he's derelict of his duties and he abandoned his oath to the U.S. Constitution. Sue him. He doesn't have immunity just because he's the president. Ain't that what the judge said?
Yep. And this thing about this thing about those documents, you know, I mean, when I listen to the news media get up there and they start talking about certain things, I'm like, do they really think we're this stupid? You know, Joe Biden, they do, you know, and sad to say a lot of people who listen to him are that stupid, but, you know, they talked about during the raid in Mar-a-Lago, they wanted to see all these documents that Donald Trump had and whatever, yada, 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 but he had a right to have those documents because he was president, you know, what's it called, the presidential documents, I forget what it is, it's a clause. They just let Joe Biden skate by when he was discovered. You know, he drives his Corvette out of the garage, and they discover him with documents, and they're like, "Oh well, it's okay for him to have documents." No, it wasn't because he's vice president. The only person who could keep those documents is the president. You know, but now they're saying, "Well, we didn't we didn't charge him because, you know, he's old, he's infirm and everything. No, he still committed a crime. He needs to pay for his crime. He needs to be punished.
Right. You know, it's just like the I like to talk about the border here because I live in Texas. It's just like these Border Patrol agents that are down there on the border that are cutting the razor wire that Governor Abbott has authorized to put up. Okay. These people are traitors to this country. They should be ashamed of themselves. They took an oath to the Constitution to uphold the Constitution. What are they doing? They are harboring illegal invaders. Plain and simple. A cop takes an oath to the Constitution. Military guys take an oath to the Constitution. But yet they are sitting there cutting the razor wire to keep these invaders out of our house, which is the United States, and they're just doing my job, sir. Doing my job. Well, if your job said to go jump off a cliff, would you go jump off a cliff?
Common sense. I don't know. I'm thinking they would.
Yeah. Well, here's the point. Here's the point on that. The U.S. border starts at the center of the Rio Grande. And when you come up in the land that Texas allow you to use, but when you come beyond the Texas border, you in another country. You in another state. That is not federal territory. That belongs to the sovereign wealth of the Texas and Texans.
That's right.
They have no right to enter. Just like Katrina. What happened to Katrina? You remember when Bush wanted to bring in FEMA? Oh, why didn't he bring it right on in? You know why? Because the governor didn't give him permission to.
That's right.
So if it's
and then
good
they blame
for the goose, why come it ain't good for the gander?
Yep. And they blame him for the supplies not getting there fast enough.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. Ay. I just don't know what to think anymore. You know, this is how crazy it's become. You know. When you had, just like you said, Katrina down here, when that thing went on, they had armed patrols, probably State Guard, patrolling neighborhoods that wasn't even affected. Okay. Oh, I think they lost power. Big deal. Okay. They was actually going and confiscating guns from honest people that are sitting in their front yard trying to protect their property.
Yeah.
And these tyrannical bastards was seizing their guns. Gee whiz, that kind of called a dictatorship, isn't it? When they stop all your rights like that. It don't sound very good to me, does it? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me, you know. I mean, telling people they don't have the right to protect their own lives and their property and everything, and that the government just gonna come in and, you know, we're the solution and whatever. Now y'all doing a very bad job, you know. I can just like with the healthcare, you know, and everything, you know, they want to get into that and they tell you, well, we know what's good for you, we know what's best because we're the elites, we sit up here and you sit down there and we're basically, you know, we're basically the brains of this country and everything. But you know, if they had a zombie invasion in Washington D.C., the zombies would probably starve to death because not that many brains up there. But
well, you know what the few words are. If you ever hear these few words, you better shake in your boots. We're from the government and we're here to help.
Yeah.
Those
oh,
are the
definitely.
Most terrifying
you know.
Words. That you would ever be able to hear your entire life.
Because if you give the government, a millimeter, they take 10 miles. You know, they just don't know when to stop, you know.
When to stop.
And that's why I believe in limited government. You know, it really, the government doesn't need to be in all this stuff like they are today. They don't need to be in our healthcare. They don't need to be telling us if we can own a gun or not or anything like that. Of course, there's some exceptions to some of those rules, but they shouldn't be overall telling us that, you know, you can't do this and you can't do that. You know, I mean, when I was born in October of 1968, I think I was born with something called common sense. You know, I mean, I think I got plenty of that. I might be 55 years old, but I still think I've got a copious amount of common sense up in my brain. So, you know, I don't need you doing anything for me. Just get out the way. Let me live my life.
It's just like the old cliche says, and people believe it, that, oh, we're free in this country. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're not free in this country. What happens if you stop paying ground rent, your property taxes? They come and kick you off your land, don't they?
Yep.
Free in this country,
exactly.
Huh? Really? And when you have to ask Master, Big Daddy, state, federal, Daddy, can I carry a gun? Daddy, can I carry a gun, please? And you're granted, if it's okay with Daddy, a license to carry a gun. Thank God we got constitutional carry in the state of Texas here now. Long overdue.
Yeah.
But even with constitutional carry, you're still limited. You can't go in federal buildings. Can't go in city properties. You can't go in a bank. You can't go on school property, okay, with a gun. You can't go in a post office with a gun, okay? So, you know, and just like states like New York, thank God I don't live there, okay?
Oh, yeah.
We'll give you a permit to carry a gun, but we're going to limit where you can carry it. No subways, no this, no buses, no taxis, no nothing. But you have
then
a right
to carry a gun. Then they charge the hell for the damn permit.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I know ammunition, the price for that has gone up too.
Oh yeah. I know.
You know, they're trying every angle to keep you from owning a gun, to discourage you from owning a gun, you know, every little angle that they can try, you know, cuz they want to be the protectors.
Yeah, or even to protect yourself. We'll take New York again, okay? There's a guy that called in on some of the shows here. And he has a carry permit in the state of New York. Can carry it in New York City. Oh, my God. He said, if I cross that border with that gun on going into New York City, they'll put me in prison for the rest of my life. Okay.
You have to be
bleeding out on the ground with numerous bullet holes in you before you could use your weapon. And then it's questionable.
Down here,
they encourage you to brandish your gun, to de-escalate a situation, and to take control of a situation. I've never had to shoot nobody. Now, I've had to open my shirt and put my hand on it, and that's enough. They run.
Yeah.
Because they're cowards.
Exactly.
Just them seeing it, that's enough to send them running. Just the very sight. And you don't even have to pull the thing out of the holster. Just the very sight of that peacekeeper, and I call it a peacekeeper because it keeps the peace. An armed society is a polite society. Go ahead.
Exactly.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. Your wives and daughters need to wear that gun on their hip.
That's right.
They need to have in their brassiere, they need to have a stack barrel Derringer. Bond makes one with a 9mm on the top. And a 14 on the bottom. And then if it gets that bad, they need to have a 6-inch hairpin in their hair where they can stab that sucker in his neck.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right. But I already thought women were, you know, had all the armament that they needed, you know, because when I see these women with these high heel shoes and them long fingernails and them butterfly eyelashes and everything, she sounds like she's well armed to me, boy. You know, take that hair off her head and throw it at the attacker and jab them with them fingernails. I mean, a lot of women they don't understand. They're carrying the armament already.
Now they need to take that 14 on that stack barrel and Bond, B-O-N-D, Derringer, and shoot them right in the nuts with it.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I'm for real.
Yeah.
Oh, my caller does. Oh, my goodness. My caller done left. I had them open. I wanted to see if they were going to come back on, and they done left. Okay. Well, that's two callers that dropped off. You know, I try to tell people to be patient with me because, you know, I tend to be a little wordy and everything. I just want to get out, you know, what I need to say. And that's usually the reason why I usually say the second hour for my phone callers. Maybe I need a longer show or something like that. I don't know, you know, but that's the reason why I wait till the second hour, and that's when I take my phone calls because I can be a bit talkative. I know that. I understand. But, it, you know, a lot of times I do that because I'm trying to get a point across, and sometimes, you know, it takes a while to get a point across and whatever, but, you know, hey, you know, it is what it is. Let me see something right now. Give me a second right quick.
Gunslinger Donnie wasn't feeling too good today.
Oh, really?
I don't know what he got. I know one thing, he's got that young wife. I hope he ain't trying to keep up with her.
Yeah, that'd use up all your energy right there. Jesus.
Hey, guys, I got a special guest here.
Hello, how you doing?
Hello.
Hi.
I'm glad we ain't got to listen to you all day, Vincent.
Yeah, folks, this is my wife, so I thought I'd have her pop in, say hi to you guys, you know, kind of make your day and everything. So
yeah, she make my day, that's for sure.
Howdy from Dallas, Texas.
Howdy, how you doing?
Yeah, it's raining here. We're off and on. Love it.
Yeah.
I saw the weather report. Y'all might be in for a bit of weather down there. You know, so sometimes. y'all be careful.
What is that? Is it going to rain?
Yeah. Oh, they're talking about maybe some hail and quite possibly some tornadoes.
Oh, man. Yeah, so, you'll be careful out there.
Well, down here, we live on the edge of what is called Tornado Alley. It starts down here in South Texas and goes all the way up to, you know, Oklahoma and, you know, Missouri and Kansas and all that stuff. So we're right on the edge of it here. So, yeah, I've seen my fair share of crazy weather.
Oh, man. Yeah, when it hit Missouri, it goes right through Columbia, Missouri, all the time, a little bit outside of it.
Every bit of it. Yep.
Yeah. Columbia, yeah, they're in that prime area, too. So, wow. You know, so, but, yeah, y'all, and from what I saw, I think something's supposed to be going through Missouri that, either tonight or tomorrow. You know, we hardly get any weather over here because we got the mountains, you know, to our west and everything, and every now and then something does get through, but we don't get it as bad as you guys get it on the other side, you know. And you know, just be careful out there.
What you guys were talking about?
Oh, we're just, you know, we shooting the breeze about everything. You know what we're talking about?
So how's the country running?
Let me tell you all something about my wife. She likes to watch a lot of politics on TV, and I'll be in the bedroom, you know, trying to watch me something and whatever, and then she starts yelling at the TV. You know, my wife is a big time Trump fan. She's a big-time Trump fan, you know, and she don't like anybody talking about Trump. Sometimes I think she loves Trump better than she likes me, but that's neither here or there. So,
well,
but she's a major Trump fan.
Ms. Brown, I told Vincent to make sure you got your protection. I told him get you a 9mm to go on your hip, get you a stack barrel Derringer to put in your bra, and get one of them 6-inch hat pins to put in your hair.
Oh, my good, yeah.
Yeah, that I love
that's
that.
A good idea.
I love that hat pin idea. I definitely love that hat pin idea.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
But anyway, my caller, I had two more callers on here, and they are gone. Sometimes I feel a little discouraged with that because, I really like to hear everybody's point of view. I don't know who Joseph Gibson is in my chat room. I don't know who it is, but hey, Joseph, if you want to call in, now's the time, mm-hmm. Hopefully you're not a troll or anything like that,
Joseph Gibson is a good guy.
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, now I know, got it from the horse's mouth,
He's a good guy, but he don't never have no sandwiches.
He don't have no sandwiches? What do you mean he don't have no sandwiches? Does Joseph Gibson live near you or something like that?
We know of him for a long time.
Mm. Oh, okay. Yeah, shoot. Hey, tell him. Don't be shy. Call on in and, give us your 2 cents worth of rhetoric. We're all adults here. Like I tell people, no reason to come in here and, involving yourself in ad hominem attacks and everything and stuff like that. We're all adults here. We're not going to sit here and tear you down because you don't agree with us or something like that. You don't agree with us. You don't. If you do, you do. Hey, that's you. So, I love getting that interaction from a lot of people in the queues and everything, one thing I like to tell people is don't just take my word for it when you hear me on this program. I'm not Mr. Know-It-All or anything like that, but just take what I say and just check it out. Just Google it or research what I talk about. I'm not the most eloquent person on the radio or anything like that. Some of these guys, they're real professional and everything. Maybe I'm not as professional, but I do feel like I have something that I need to say to get out there for people. And I want people to learn from, what I have to say. I want people to really get something out of it. I just don't want to be on this show, just be flapping my yap all the time and bouncing that lip,
So somebody, Trump 2024.
Hey, that's Gunslinger. That's a guy from Dallas.
Oh, he's Trump fan.
If you look in the chat room real fast, I took a screenshot. This is the gun I carry. This is what I carry on my side right now.
Okay. Let me see that. Get that.
That's my little buddy.
Yeah, Shake he calls himself Gunslinger.
Because
he's always carrying his gun with him.
Yeah, I mean, it saves. Now look at these days. What's happening now? People just walking in stores, walking back out. Like, hey, thank you for the free item. They're gonna take anything they want, especially in California. It's terrible in California. Chicago. Okay.
They wouldn't do that in Liberia.
Oh no, they're not gonna do that. They would not. They would think twice before they do that. We don't play there. They said, do you know what I went through? You come in my store to steal? Okay. They would never do that. I'm like, okay, you know what? Let me turn around.
Yeah, if you wondered what that is, it's a Sig Sauer P250 semi-automatic. Yep.
Oh, you got a 6 hour. Ooh.
Yep. That's a good gun right there.
That's good.
Ooh, that thing looks scary. Good gracious.
What's so good about this one is that you can interchange the body, the frame. You can take it to a 22. You can take it to a 10 millimeter. You can take it to a 38, a 357, or a 45. But it's by changing the frame.
If we ever come to Dallas, we're not gonna rob your house.
Man, I wouldn't I wouldn't recommend it. Nah, 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 nah.
You better think twice.
Since I'm a gunslinger, and there's nothing, I have nothing against the Glock gun. Okay, Glock, they make very good guns. Okay, there's only one problem with them. You just don't want to do what you call a Glock walk. Ever heard that term?
No, I never heard that one.
What that is Glock pistols have a safety on the trigger, where you pull the trigger, you have to pull that safety and pull that trigger at the same time. Then the gun will fire. The Glock walk comes from when you are reholstering this particular type of weapon, and something gets caught on that trigger, the gun will fire. People have been shot in the leg. That's why they call it a Glock walk.
Well, that's something new I learned today. And I see Mr. Garding is in the chat room. He said he'd been looking for your show to start, and I had to go to the store and miss it again. Oh, don't worry. And thank you for those emails, that you'll be sending me, Mr. Garding, because they're real encouragement. And, like I said, I'm in here for the long run. So, but if you see Conservative Nation Media in the chat room, it's either me or Mr. Garding, he'll allow me to come on this platform. And I need to check out the other platforms on CNN Radio. I keep forgetting to say, let me check these other people out. I don't want just people checking out my show. I want to check out everybody else's show too, because we all got something to say. We're all pieces of the puzzle, we fit in to make a bigger picture and everything. So, I really appreciate being on this platform, I appreciate you guys. Go ahead, Bianchi.
What's our friend that died not too long ago?
Iredale. Yeah, Iredale.
I tell you what. I heard some news about him.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
look, he about ready. They about ready to kick him out of heaven. He up there causing all kind of trouble. So he going to be calling back in the show here, I reckon.
Yeah, I miss Iredale. He's one of my best friends. I miss that buzzy voice of his and everything. he was one of the biggest supporters of this show before you and Sarge came on, and he was like, he would tell me, he's like, am I the only one that listens to your show? I said, that's what I think, He said, man, all these people that know you got a show and they don't even call in and listen to you and everything, He said, but most of the time he would be there, but he wouldn't be there every show. But most of the time he always call in. If he has some time, he'll call in and say, hey, I'm just listening to your show. Brother Garding, at least he isn't Brother Warren. Yeah, exactly. We all, that's the guy that would come on my show and make these false accusations against
me.
He's
a mess.
Yeah.
That guy is
yeah.
a mess.
My wife wanted to make him
my
wife wanted to make him her special Liberian stew, and send it to New Orleans.
I said, you are so patient with him. I'm like, he needs to go. And I like the way what's the lady that called the station?
I'm not sure who it was. I think it was Brigitte Boye's wife, Suzanne. I think she was, if I'm correct. But he called somebody a white homosexual or something like that. And I said, oh gosh, this dude has really gone off the bar. You know, he he has really jumped the ship, you know. But you know, and like I said, you know, hey, wherever he is, you know, I wish him the best. You know, he might be listening to us right now. He might be on another stage.
I told you that yeah. before you went to his show. Y'all are hard headed. I told Sarge the same thing.
Yeah,
he got
you're right. He got, you know what? You're right, because I was telling my husband, I'll say, why you keep on letting him because he's not a good guy. And I said, why you keep on letting him, come to him? I mean, people like, if he's like that, get rid of him. Just don't even receive his phone call. Don't say nothing. And just kick him out. But my husband's a good person, so he just let him talk, you know, the way he wants to and stuff like that. I say, if it was me, he's long gone. I'll block him. I'm like, bye. I don't need you.
He said that to Lori Ann. Is that the Lucid Libertarian that just came into my chat room?
Who's that?
Yeah, that's Lori Ann.
That's the one that
keeps you up at 4 in the morning, man. You got to be careful around her.
Yeah, real careful.
Said I cry white girl tears. Is this her calling in now? Let me see. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm finally catching your show, like here at the tail end of it. But I've always wanted to tune into your show, but it's always on early and I forget. But hello, yep, this is Lori Ann, Lucid Libertarian.
It is a honor to have you on the program tonight, even though it's going to be just a few minutes. But it is an honor because I listened to, I think, one of your shows, and I was like, oh, man, this lady, she's libertarian, but she sounds good.
Oh, well, thank you. I've become more conservative leaning over the last, especially 3 years or so. You know, I was more of a centrist, and then COVID came along, and then I got more conservative.
Okay.
Did Trump open your eyes?
I think that, like, just the whole state of affairs of everything, how everything went down, I was just like, I couldn't help but get more conservative, because it was the extreme liberals that, you know, wished us death. Oh my God, you're not wearing a mask. You should die. Let's beat you up, you know. And oh my God, you didn't get the shot. Oh my God, you're going to kill everybody. You should be put in concentration camps. You should be denied health care. You should, you know. Like,
You know what? You and I, I was like, y'all gonna hold me back? Please hold me back, because I couldn't stand the mask. I couldn't smell, you smell your own breath. You are smelling your own breath. I do not want masks. Please take the mask away from me. No, you need to wear it. I said, no, I do not want to wear masks. Ooh, I couldn't wait for them to say, okay, now you can't wear a mask anymore. I said, good. Throw it away. I didn't throw it away. I still got mine. I need to throw it away anyway.
Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Man, I ain't spoke to you since last year. What's been going on?
Man, where you been?
We got Sarge here, too, and Tiana.
Man,
awesome.
Look at that. I'm sorry I'm coming in so late, man, but I got this here house cat. A lovable little guy. I really love him. And he got out of the house because it's mating season. I got foxes around here. I mean, big foxes. And he could be a snack for one of them. So I got to spend the last couple hours just tracking down his little cat. Because I got a little tracker on him in case he gets out. And he's been looking for this little female cat keeps coming around. And he's been trying to get out the house. And he got out.
Oh.
And, like, he's a little sweet fella. And I'm worried about what happens if he runs into a fox. So I've been looking at him. For the last hour, almost 2 hours, I finally caught the little bastard. Now he's back. So now I'm calling in late to the show to tell you, hey, I want to get in here. I want to interlocate with the folks here. And that's what I got to say. I got a lot of things to say, but damn it, I ain't got enough time to say it. So there.
Okay. I got one more caller. Let me get this caller in. Let's see. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Yeah. I figured I'd just join the party while everyone else was here, so I just wanted to say hello.
Okay.
And,
I haven't had this many callers in months. Wow. I got 5-6 callers in. Wow. Okay.
See what happens when you mention me? You mention Mr. Libertarian, and everybody starts filing on in.
You like the hostess? Hey, we're always the hostess with the mostest. But look, I'm glad to have you back, though. Man. I'm glad you're back on the air. It's good to have you on. And I'd like you to know I intend to catch you, and I hope everybody else is on the line, intends to call in and add their flavor to your show, because you got a right mind. And you got a righteous mind, too.
I appreciate that. And just to let Robert Garding know, he said, I leave the fruit bat alarm in that you put in the cart. In the cartoon, so we can all use it. Yeah, feel free to use it. Hey, I have no problem. You get a fruit bat on there. Hey, feel free to use that alarm. I have no problem with it. No problem at all. I know that's kind of my trademark, but I have no problem with anyone using it.
Plus, Sarge, he got a lovely sounding wife too. It breaks up the boredom.
No, that'd be good. We need a little, even though, you know, I know Laurie likes to go on about, you know, the lack of estrogen in the show. It does do a little bit of good every now and then to hear a voice that is saturated with estrogen to soothe your nerves, if you know what I mean.
Well, I appreciate you guys.
The estrogen in the room, you know, we have to try to keep y'all testosterone-y's in line. That's our job.
Yeah, because this is a man show. That's right. This is a man show.
Actually, she's right about that, though. She's right. Yeah. I mean, women tend to moderate our worst impulses, and that's one of their most valuable functions. I don't care how mad that makes a lot of women.
That's right. You know.
I'm not mad about it.
well,
Laurie, all I know is what you told me. Well, you agreed with me yesterday that you said you didn't mind barring a certain part of the male anatomy from time to time. That might explain.
Yeah, well, we were talking about surgeries, and I'm like, you know, I don't want one permanently, but I'll borrow one once in a while.
Oh, wow. But, hey, I know I'm in the archives right now, and I hear the cat. I hear the cat in the background. But,
he wants to get out again.
Oh, wow. Wow, he must think he's a puma or something.
Yeah, he's a little sweet fellow, and I'm just scared to death if he gets out the house. I got a bunch of foxes got in my hen, a chicken coop not too long ago, and killed most of my chicken.
Oh, wow. You got a chicken coop, dude?
Well, not now. I got to restock it because they're little bastards. And the ones that was left, they were getting on the last. They weren't laying eggs anymore, so I put the ones that were left in the cooking pot.
Oh, okay. Oh, well.
I got to restock it, so, you know.
Well, let me just say this, because I know I'm in archives, and I'll probably have to end because my wife done cooked dinner and everything. I'm going to try to make it my priority to visit more of these shows on CNN Radio. Because I know over the years I met a lot of great people. Of course, Sarge and Pianchi, y'all pretty much at the top of that list. But, you know, I want to be able to check you guys show out, because, like I said, I don't want everybody just to listen to my show and I don't listen to yours. And, you know, and there's another show that used to come on Blog Talk Radio called Greg Pinglis, I think. But he's on he's on Rumble now. So,
Yeah, he's Rumble only now. Yeah, Action Radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I used to love his show. And, you know, I think listening to his show, that's when, you know, Warren came over there and started doing his mess and everything. And, you know, and I was like, oh, gosh, I can't get away from this guy. You know, I just want to listen to his show. And here he comes, you know. But, yeah, I'm going to try to make it a priority to listen. get you guys shows. I am off every Wednesday now because now they changed my schedule from five 8-day hour days to now 4 10-hour days. So it gives me some time to get some rest and I can check some things out and whatever. And just really want to give a shout out to you guys. Thank you all for coming to the show today. It's really made my day, you know, Gunslinger 748, Joseph Gibson, the Lucid Libertarian. I love that name, Lucid Libertarian. I like that. Pianchi and Sarge, you know, you guys, y'all my boys, you know. And really appreciate you guys coming on and taking the time out to listen to this nondescript black guy in Durham, North Carolina. But you guys keep on doing what you do. Keep speaking up for the truth. You know, I'm going to have to get out of here because dinner's cooking and whatever. But you all take care of yourselves. Stay safe out there. You know, Gunslinger, be careful of them storms. You too, Pianchi, be careful of them storms coming through. But you guys take care of yourselves. Enjoy your week. Next week, I should have another edition of Black by Color Only. And, you know, if you know any friends that would like to listen to this show, invite them out. But this is Vincent E. Brown. I am signing off. And until the next time, I'll see you on the rebound. Thank you, guys. You all take care. We'll be right back.
and here's your prescription. I know just the pharmacy to get this filled.
Who are you?
I'm a PBM.
What's a PBM?
Your insurance company's pharmacy benefit manager.
Why can't I go to a pharmacy in my neighborhood?
Well, I make more money than you go to a pharmacy I own. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, there was pandemonium in the Senate over the border bill, and it got lit in one of the most exciting, fiery exchanges you're ever going to see. Person was involved. It was crazy. Before we get started, please make sure you like, comment, share, and subscribe. Those little things really help us out, and they help our channel continue to grow. Kristen Sinema, the Arizona senator who's now an independent but caucuses with the Democrats, she was in rare form cutting into Lindsey Graham and trying to get him to answer questions for her, and she was fiery. But Graham was also fiery. As the media tries to spin the reasons the border deal failed, and they try to blame Donald Trump, Lindsey Graham actually laid out the reasons, and he was furious. He was furious at what was going on. He was furious at how it was being portrayed, and he swore in the cinema. I want you guys to watch this video and then give me your thoughts. Also, please remember to like, comment, share, and subscribe. Those little things really help us out. I'm Carmine Xavia. We love you guys. God bless you. We have closed out a debate on the border.
Just a question.
Yeah.
Thank you. Now, Senator Graham, I know you've been here quite a bit longer than me, but it is my understanding that in order to get to the portion of the bill where we offer amendments on the floor, we first have to pass the motion to proceed. And it is also my understanding that it was offered by leadership and the three sponsors of the border bill, which your team gratefully helped us create, that we would have an open amendment process. So could you help me understand why you voted against the motion to proceed before we were able to offer any amendments, including your amendment?
Yes, I think the fix is in. I think people on our side and your side wanted to do the border thing as quick as they could so we could get to Ukraine. And I don't trust the system here to be able to allow to have the debate that we had for the game of 8 bill. That's why I voted no, because I didn't see any willingness in my, it proved to be correct. Because now the Republican leadership has joined with the Democratic leadership to shut down debate on the border bill, throwing a few amendments on the Ukraine bill and saying, aren't you happy now? No, I am not happy. I am not happy. I admitted that I wanted to secure the border before I helped Ukraine. Everything you said about Ukraine is right. I was not kidding, sir. Colleagues in the House, we've done a half-assed job here trying to secure the border. We shut this thing down. Unlike any other time I've been involved in immigration, I've taken a lot of hard votes. You've taken a lot of hard, you know, you've been kicked around. I understand it, Senator Lankford. I admire the hell out of him. I thought y'all produced a pretty good product, a really good product in some areas, but it wasn't enough. I want a cap on fraud. Let me tell you why I want a cap on fraud. During the Trump Obama years, the average people paroled in the country was 5,600. In the last 2 years, President Biden paroled over 800,000 people. So the parole was better, but we need a cap to stop the abuse. I'd like to have an amendment on whether or not we should cap parole at 10,000 per year, but I'm getting that on the Ukraine bill. So to my colleague from Arizona, no, no, no. This has not been a real effort to find border security in a bipartisan way. We took your product, take it or leave it. The reason I voted no to proceed is exactly been reaffirmed here. We stopped the process. We're jumping to Ukraine. We're going to do it this weekend, and it's going nowhere in the house. To those of you who want to help Ukraine, you made it harder. We're going to lose a handful of Republican voters over here because they felt they were shut out in the debate about how to secure the border. We're going to lose votes over here. You don't have a snowball chance in hell of getting it through the house because we took the border issue and we didn't address it the way it should have been. We closed it out. I could see the game being fixed. I am here as a proud supporter of Ukraine telling you that you hurt the cause of Ukraine by trying to shortchange a debate on the border.
Chris Wilder. Well, you watched me. Hunter Carlson showed up in Moscow this week to interview Vladimir Putin. It turns out to be a softball interview.
What? This is always a softball. Wow.
2 hours and 7 minutes. Well, Tucker sat there like an eager puppet. During the Cold War, gullible Westerners used Soviet propaganda.
Now we see why. That when Trump and Biden was debating, his butt was all into it. He thought he shut it up and let it talk.
Yes, it's useful to idiots. But calling Tucker that is unfair. The useful idiot. Now, we made a simple decision to face MAGA's effects and predict it. What better way to cash in than Putin's budget?
Oh, my God.
My eyes, we got to talk about what Tucker is going to go down as one of the people in interviews. In order to benefit themselves, but the United States has this kind of phobia of Russia that is lingering from the Cold War, where they feel like any type of cooperation with Russia is going to allow the old Soviet Union to come back. And that's part of the reason why we push them away, and we don't want to let them into our sphere of influence or let them be a part of the West, so to speak, even though Putin is claiming that he kind of attempted to do that. But yet, for as intelligent as Putin allegedly is, he seems to be, he doesn't seem to be intelligent enough to understand the tricks of the West. It seems like he's kind of airing out those grievances about being played by the United States and the West in his interviews. And it's funny because as much as the Western media wants to make Putin out to be some stronger dictator, to me, I don't know, man, this interview kind of came off as a little bit of weakness here because he's essentially got into a war of attrition with Ukraine, a nation that does not have nearly the military capabilities that Russia has. And Putin has made various threats about what he would do or the escalation that would occur if the United States continued to support Ukraine with, for example, long-range weapons and things of that nature that Putin claimed was a red line and he didn't actually really fulfill his promises. That, along with his apparent willingness to try to work with the West, despite the fact that we keep telling him to go away, we don't really want to work with you, we're actually trying to, you know, take you out. Right. That, to me, seems to indicate weak, right, that he's not like the leaders of Russia or the Soviet Union in the past. Like, he's not solid, right? He's not really that strong. He's not as ruthless as some of the Soviet leaders in the past have been, which goes against the narrative that we've been here in that thing about Putin being some, you know, strong-man dictator that, you know, is Russian killer, which, I mean, I'm not saying he's not, but he doesn't seem as ruthless as some of the Russian leaders of the past. That's a fact. He's going to be kind of in a position of weakness. So, again, that's my main takeaway, right? But we're going to talk about mainstream media and their takeaway. And, of course, their takeaway is going to be jealousy and hate and not actually a real analysis of the interview itself and things that we expect. So, without further ado, let's get to Chris Wallace, you know, hate for Tucker Carlson for getting an interview that we can't get. So, let's get to it.
Now for another edition of Tell Me Why I'm Wrong. Tucker Carlson showed up in Moscow this week to interview Vladimir Putin. It turned out to be anything but an interview. Putin droned on for 2 hours and 7 minutes, while Tucker sat there like an eager puppet. Occasionally, but rarely, he got in a question, like this one about the power of the deep state in Washington.
It sounds like you're describing a system that's not run by the people who are elected in your talent.
In the film. That's right. That's right.
But we're telling them what Tucker asked is what he didn't ask. Nothing about why Putin invaded a sovereign country. Nothing about targeting civilians. Nothing about Russian war crimes.
Well, he didn't ask about Russian war crimes, but if you actually listen to the interview, Putin does explain his justification
why. Yeah.
It's just that national media doesn't actually want to talk about Putin's justification for the war because they don't want you to know about it, right? They don't want you to know that Putin feels like NATO betrayed their promise not to expand eastward during talks to end the Cold War back in the early 90s between the leader of the USSR at the time, Mikhail Gorbachev, and the U.S. Secretary of State, James Baker, which the Russians alleged that there was a promise made verbally for NATO not to expand in exchange for East Germany basically being allowed to reunite with West Germany, Germany becoming whole. Now, this was right before the USSR collapsed. Now, the West, their side of the story is that, well, we don't actually make these promises. They're not in writing, so therefore, it doesn't really apply. Okay, they're saying that they don't make these promises. Now, when the USSR collapsed in 1991, what happened was that a lot of the countries that were under the Warsaw Pact, that were under Soviet control, Soviet defense assurances, they were no longer under the control of the Soviet Union. The nation was collapsing, and then at that point, some of these former Warsaw Pact countries like Czechoslovakia and Poland were requesting membership into NATO after the USSR collapsed. And they sort of said, look, they asked to request
entry into NATO, we didn't actually expand. They wanted to be a part of NATO. And since promises were not written, and also the promises were made when the Soviet Union was still in existence, basically, we didn't really betray them, okay? Because, one, the promises were not written down, and two, these Eastern Bloc countries actually requested entry into NATO. There was no real NATO expansion. No, they wanted to be a part of NATO, and that's how they gained entrance in 1999. So, now, apparently, Putin sees that as a threat, okay, because NATO is a military alliance that initially was formed for defense purposes. But when Russia tried to join NATO, hey, join you guys club here, okay, and defend ourselves, NATO initially kind of said, yeah, but no, you can't do it. We're actually building these missiles to defend against you. Okay, to officially you against you. Okay, that's kind of how Russia has interpreted what is happening with NATO, the expansion of NATO. That is the way that they see it, okay? You know, that's both sides of the story. Yeah, I don't know why the American media is afraid to tell both sides of the story. Apparently, telling both sides of the story is dangerous or is disinformation from the Kremlin. Hey, when they can just literally just tell both sides of the story, this is how both sides feel. And then they can let the people decide, hey, you know, what is right. Now, me personally, I don't think that regardless of Putin's claim of betrayal, I don't think that justifies invading a sovereign nation, okay, which is Ukraine. Now, obviously, it goes without saying, Putin's reasoning kind of goes beyond that. Again, I just gave you guys kind of a short gist of kind of what's often cited, okay, from the Russians. But again, I think it's just a damn shame that the American media, they never tell this story, right? They never present it and say, hey, well, this is what you're saying, okay? And, you know, responses like this in some calls and interviews is exactly what I'm talking about. How the American media fails to educate people on the issue.
A reporter can ask Putin a tough question if he wants a real interview. Why is it that so many of the people that oppose Vladimir Putin end up dead or close to it?
You know, what's funny about this is that CNN is the same network that claims that, hey, well, we must ask world leaders tough questions when it comes to war. But yet, they do these types of interviews with Vladimir Zelensky.
As a human being, how many people look up to you? They're alive.
Oh, my goodness.
You don't imagine how hard that is.
Oh, Lord. What kind of interview is that?
Are you ever able to take a minute to read or to listen to music or something to sort of give yourself that a moment?
Right.
How can I be alone? Alone, I can be with you through or with a book. At the level in the morning, the book, when there are no sounds, no people, nobody. I mean, the people, our staff, I mean, nobody is in my cabinet, nobody. I can just read things. And the music helps.
What music do you like?
Oh, my life. And of course I like Ukrainian music a lot because Ukrainian that's the fire, not only music, but words, etc. I don't understand all the words because of my
Yeah, so I wonder if Chris Wallace believes that that's journalism, right? What you just saw there, that very softball interview from CNN asking Zelensky about his musical interest rather than whether or not Ukraine is actually trying to pursue some type of peace agreement with Russia, okay, or whether or not Zelensky is being influenced by leaders in the West in regards to their ability to come to a peace agreement. Yeah, I think that those questions that should be asked that you don't get answers from Zelensky because the Western media doesn't ask them these questions. Again, it's maybe not at work. Who's supposed to get hardball interviews? And if you don't press him on war crimes and all of the other allegations of Russian wrongdoing in Ukraine, then you're not a real journalist. But apparently when it comes to Zelensky, real journalism is that type of interview you just saw there from CNN. You don't ask them any real hardball questions at all when you're talking about spending billions of taxpayer dollars to support a war that would cost the Ukrainians lots.
Oh, wow.
Put in
the
room. Yeah.
Bring your print there.
Thank you.